Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms. Do I look less inflamed?
Yes, totally.
Like my face?
Yes. Your jowls.
I know.
Beth is the thing with her jowls.
Well, it's something that creeps up on you at first when you have treatment. You're like, I don't look older. And then all of a sudden, bam, 8 years later.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I had the best compliment from somebody I saw at the I used to train him. And he goes, do you age at all? And I was like, oh, my gosh.
That man that knows how to win a lady's heart.
You're really pumping my tires. But you're coming off of a five-day Prolon fast.
Yeah, I came off a five-day Prolon fast. And then the thing is once you've gone 5 days mm-hmm. like that, you kind of want to keep that momentum because you feel good. And so now it's 2 days. So I'm at day seven, right? I'm off the fast, but I'm not consuming sugar and I'm, you know, I'm doing all the things and I just feel so good.
After you feel less of a pull towards it too. Like you sort of broke the addiction cycle.
You broke the addiction cycle. And that's the thing. It's like, I think I was telling you the other day, the minute that I have something that's fatty and gross and full of, you know, saturated fats and GMO and all that, immediately I want more.
Yeah.
It's like a heroin hit. I have never done heroin.
How do you know, Beth?
Full disclosure. But I feel like it'd be the same. Like the minute you have it, you want more of it.
Yeah.
And that's how I am with bad food.
Yeah.
It just gets into my bloodstream almost immediately. Mm-hmm. I want more and then I feel bad.
Yeah.
So, and it's this perpetual cycle. So yeah, I'm on day seven and I just feel it's, you and I have talked about this before, that you can look at somebody and see if they're inflamed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm to the point now where my husband can now see it.
Yeah.
So we'll see somebody and we'll be like, they look really inflamed.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to be talking about today is inflammation.
Yep. It's going to be a great conversation. So,
It plays a complex role in cancer development, progression, recurrence.
I mean, disease in general. I feel like it's not even specific to cancer, but just really everything. Mm-hmm. So, so today we're going to be talking about chronic inflammation and cancer risk.
Yep. Inflammation's role in tumor growth.
And then managing inflammation for cancer prevention.
Or disease progression.
Yes. But before we do that, let's hear from our first sponsor.
Are you feeling scared, overwhelmed, or lost post-treatment? Do you want to reclaim your life and thrive even better than before breast cancer? Faith Through Fire Survivorship Bootcamp is designed for breast cancer survivors who are committed to living their fullest lives. If you're ready to leap forward, seize personal growth, and redefine your journey, this bootcamp will provide the path. You might benefit from our bootcamp if the excitement of completing treatment has worn off, leaving you feeling unsure about your future. You feel confused by your new post-cancer identity and struggle to accept your quote, new normal. You want to enjoy life again, but feel stuck in a cycle of negative emotions. Or you feel disconnected from yourself, others, or God. Our bootcamp offers a structured roadmap that delves deep into four key areas crucial for post-cancer recovery and thriving. Understanding trauma, cultivating a fighting spirit, managing anxiety and intrusive thoughts, and redefining and reshaping your identity so you can rediscover your joy and purpose in life. You can participate in person in St. Louis or online. To join our wait list, visit faiththroughfire.org/survivorship-bootcamp. Okay, and we're back. Let's talk about chronic inflammation and cancer development. You know, everybody's going to suffer inflammation at some point. It's when it becomes chronic that it really does a number on your mitochondria.
Yep.
And that's when you are at risk for other diseases.
And their mitochondria is actually the powerhouse of the cell. So for everybody who doesn't remember making the cell in biology, do you remember that?
You
made it out of candy and different like foods, which is kind of ironic. But
like candy.
Yeah.
You made the cell out of candy.
The mitochondria is actually the powerhouse. So that's where you make your energy production. So what fuels your body.
And if it's damaged, it affects every process in your body. And it's fair to say that if you've gotten cancer, your cell has been damaged. I think that's the big frustration in cancer care, is that we're not addressing the underlying cause of all these diseases, which is damaged cells, right?
Yeah.
But long-term chronic inflammation damages DNA, and it creates an environment that may promote cancer or heart disease or diabetes.
Mm-hmm. Autoimmune disorders.
Oh, how many autoimmune disorders does everybody have now?
Oh, I was just talking to somebody a couple weeks ago, and they went through breast cancer and then immediately after got lupus.
I mean, that happens all the time. Yeah. And I would argue that, you know, it's really tempting to go through treatment and be like, okay, now I'm done and I've done it and they fixed it.
Yeah.
They may have fixed your cancer, but have they fixed the underlying reason why you developed cancer?
Right.
And that's really what we're talking about today with inflammation.
Yep.
So basically, cells in an inflamed area undergo DNA mutations, and then that basically can cause malignancies.
Mm-hmm.
So here are some other conditions that are caused by inflammation. Ulcerative colitis.
Mm-hmm. So this is actually like a little medical lesson for you. Anything that ends in itis is actually an inflammation. Itis, it means inflammation in medical terminology.
Look at you.
Oh, gosh, that degree is coming in handy.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Ulcerative colitis, hepatitis, chronic bronchitis.
See all the itises?
You are so right.
I know.
And they are all known to increase the risk of certain cancers, specifically colon, liver, lung, breast. So inflammation is where it's at.
Yep.
It's like, what is causing our inflammation? How do we get it under control?
Yeah.
But what is its role in tumor growth?
Great question. So chronic inflammation fosters an environment that supports cancer cell proliferation. So that is
it allows it to survive,
the survival of the cell and to grow. The inflammatory process helps supply cancer cells with the nutrients and oxygen that it needs. So again, when you feed the fire, it's going to get bigger.
It's like the formation of new blood vessels, which feeds the tumor. They call that angiogenesis.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that doctors are always looking at is, you know, I remember, I don't know if this is the same thing, but I remember when they were looking at my tumor on ultrasound and they were like talking about blood supply.
Yep.
And I think that's what that is.
Because, I mean, I think we've talked about it on a previous podcast with somebody else where they said that a lot of us have the propensity for tumors in our body, and we have tumors in our body because a damaged cell happens all the time.
Yeah.
But it's about our body
ability to fight it.
And as soon as that blood supply gets to that tumor, now it's its own organism and will continue to grow all on its own because it's got a supply of nutrients.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Inflammatory molecules such as cytokines and chemokines help cancer cells migrate and invade neighboring tissues and eventually spread to other organs. And that's where metastasis is so dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's not having cancer cells in your body that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It's when they invade your organs and they take over your organs and you start suffering from organ shutdown.
Yeah.
So I think that's an important distinction because people get really scared about cancer cells being in their body.
Yeah.
I'm not scared of cancer cells being in my body. I'm scared of my...
The reality is they probably are.
Yeah, and they always will be. They're microscopic. We can't see them. Mm-hmm. Even if you've survived cancer, you know, you're going to still have cancer cells in your body at any given point. The question is your immune system, is your cell...
Yeah.
healthy enough to make sure that it never recurs or progresses. And that's really what we're talking about.
Yeah. And providing an anti-inflammatory environment will promote that from not growing.
I mean, you get rid of what fuels those things.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be able to survive or progress. Right. So that's what we're going to talk about. Before we talk about managing inflammation for cancer prevention or progression, do you want to do boobs in the news?
Always.
All right. Let's do boobs. Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News! Boobs in the News! Boobs in the News!
Okay, you ready for this?
Lay it on me.
All right, this just happened. A man told 911 a bear chased him off a cliff.
He survived.
Well, hold on. Weeks later, he was arrested for murder.
He was arrested for murder.
He was arrested for murder.
Okay.
So basically,
I'll follow you, man.
Yeah. A man called police in eastern Tennessee claiming a bear had chased him off a cliff. But authorities arrived on the scene to find the body of a different man, sparking a multi-state manhunt for the caller that ended with his arrest on murder charges. So think about how idiotic this guy is.
Oh, so I see.
He pretended to be the man.
he pretended to be the bear that pushed. Well, he pretended to be the man that was pushed off the cliff.
Right.
But when in reality, it was a different. It was the
he's
man
trying
who
to
called,
do a bait and switch.
Yeah.
But it's like you called.
Right.
And we're like, I got thrown off a cliff by a bear. And then they find the dead guy.
Yeah.
And he didn't think police were smart enough to be like, wait a minute.
Wait a second.
This caller is not the same man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they went on a big manhunt. Let's see. This guy is 45. And it says he befriended and lured his victim into a wooded area to take both his life and his identity. He was using an alias at the time and had a lengthy criminal history and was already wanted in Alabama for parole violation. So then, of course, he gets first degree murder. Okay, so they're basically looking for him. They say he's dangerous and potentially armed. They urged him to turn himself in. They offered $5,000 for information leading to his arrest. After many weeks of searching and one Halloween night spotting. Okay, so I guess I saw him on Halloween. He was taken into custody.
Was he dressed as a bear?
Now I'm the bear. Let's see here. Basically, he went to the hospital, I guess, and somebody recognized him there and alerted authorities.
People are terrible.
Yeah. I mean, this is like ridiculous. People are so stupid.
Well, and the poor guy who ended up losing his life and over this.
Can you imagine?
No.
That poor guy getting lured into the woods.
Yeah.
Although
that's a little scary.
I know. I'm like, how do you lure a grown man into the woods if you're a stranger?
I do not know. Well, I mean, you're a criminal, so I'm sure there's some messed up things going on up there.
Well, suffice it to say who the boob is in this story, and
yeah,
I hope he
it's
enjoys.
The bear.
I hope he enjoys his time in prison.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
your boobs.
Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news.
Okay, and we're back. Let's talk about managing inflammation for cancer prevention or progression of disease.
Yeah.
How much do we feel discussions about inflammation in the body are part of routine medical discussions?
I think it's sort of become this junk term too. When you just hear inflammation, like obviously you sort of think of I'm puffy, but like you don't think of anything specific, right? Or is that just me?
I mean, no, I think that's true because nobody's talking about it.
Yeah.
As a cause of disease.
Right.
You know, like I'm one of those people where I have to know the why.
Also,
you can't just tell me don't eat processed foods. I need to know why don't I eat processed foods? Well, you don't eat processed foods because it causes inflammation, which could create the environment for your yeah. cancer to go back.
And we don't want to 100% vilify inflammation because inflammation is actually a natural body process. We're meant to be inflamed when we have an injury, or we're meant to be inflamed when our body is working through something, because inflammation is when our body goes to try to fix something.
Mm-hmm.
So if you roll your ankle outside and you are, or inside, I guess, really, mm-hmm. if you roll your ankle and you tear a tendon, inflammation will happen in that area because it's bringing all the white blood cells, the red blood cells, all the things to that area to help heal it.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we're having systemic inflammation means that our whole body, and then just imagine like a small house fire, like maybe you start a little tiny fire in your kitchen versus the entire house being engulfed in flames.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot harder to put out the entire house that's engulfed in flames versus just one little flame in the kitchen, like if you rolled your ankle.
Yeah.
So I think that making the distinction between inflammation being a natural body process that is actually good for your body versus something systemic that it eventually just overwhelms the system.
Yeah, it goes back to that acute versus chronic.
Right.
Acute is fine.
Yes.
Meant to happen.
Yeah.
Chronic, no good.
No good.
No bueno.
Well, I mean, you can have chronic single spot inflammation.
Sure.
So.
But yeah.
Yeah.
No, we're talking about things that are brought on by poor diet.
Yeah.
Obesity.
Yeah.
Stress.
Yes.
Stress is a big one. Smoking, drinking, all mm-hmm. promote inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to hear that.
Yep. No.
No.
No, because sometimes that means taking away your vices, the things that you find comfort in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's my husband. My son's 15. He's having some friends over on Friday to watch the Mike Tyson fight.
Oh, yeah.
I forget who he's fighting. Yeah, some young pup.
Yeah. The fact that he's still fighting is actually just ridiculous.
I mean,
not ridiculous. It's amazing, but he's
not
a young guy.
No, I was watching some documentary about his training for this fight, and I'm like, he's going to win. He's going to win. That dude's scary.
I decided. You're putting money down on some bets.
I mean, I'm kind of taking us off road here for a second, but the documentary was hysterical because they take him back to his old neighborhoods, and uh-huh. he's walking down the street, and people are waving and smiling at him, and then this lady comes up, and she whispers in his ear, "You robbed me when you were younger."
Oh,
and
stop.
It was It was kind of funny.
And that's hilarious. And she's like proud of it.
I mean, she was just like, oh, you know, let bygones be bygones. So you robbed me.
Or no, maybe she's like, I think you're worth a little bit more money now. How about you repay me with some interest?
Right. Yeah. Sounds like maybe you could give me some, what do they call that? Retribution or whatever.
Right.
No. So, you know, my son's having friends over. My husband's like, should we just order them some pizzas? And I was like, you can, you know, but I'm not going to be having any.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, really? Even if we do this, and this and get a salad? I'm like, no. I'm like, I'll make myself like a fall harvest salad or something that's really yummy. But I'm like, I don't want to be tempted with that. And I'm, you know, I'm not the mom that's like, my kids can't have pizza. Yeah. You know, they're at their healthiest right now. Mm-hmm. If I told them they can't have any of that stuff, it would just be a losing battle.
Yeah.
I think I'm more just planting seeds in them.
Yeah.
That when you eat more of this stuff than the healthy stuff, you're setting yourself up for chronic inflammation and disease.
And you're so right, too. Like, we had a party for my husband last week. Mm-hmm. And when we went shopping for the food for it, if I cost compare the normal healthy options that I would normally get, the no sugar barbecue sauce for the pulled pork, and if we would have gotten the organic pork or, you know, all the stuff, the party would have been astronomical and we would not have been able to afford it. So we ended up opting for the lesser cost options at the sacrifice of what I would normally buy for my family because I think it's healthier.
Yeah.
But the same, we had little girls over yesterday. It was their early release. And one of the girls wanted to go home because we don't have any of the junk in our house.
We have that same problem.
Like, no kid wants to come over and have dinner at our house, which is kind of savings for us.
No, it saves you so much money. Yeah. We have these neighborhood kids who will literally come in and raid the pantry like they live there, which is a pet peeve of mine anyway. Like, who teaches you to go into somebody else's home?
Doing it anymore.
Well, and they're always just like, I mean, can I have a handful of cereal? Or, you know, because there's like nothing in our pantry. You know, and I told the kids, and this is really bad. My daughter told me I was a helicopter mom for this, but I let them go trick-or-treating, right? Uh-huh, yeah. They took a pillowcase. Uh-huh. They were gone for hours. They came home with pillowcases full of candy. Uh-huh. When they went to school, I went through it and got rid of stuff like Skittles because
it's all the red.
It's all the red dyes that aren't even allowed in Europe.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff that's like straight poison, like legit poison.
Straight poison.
I took all that out. And then I bought a lockbox for $20 off of Amazon with a keypad on it. Mm-hmm. I put all the candy in there and I locked it up, and they have to ask me to have a piece of candy because if I don't do that,
it will be gone in 2 days.
They will keep it in their room.
Yeah.
They will eat it within, you know, they'll eat nothing but candy for like a month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and my mom, you know, my kids are like, oh my gosh, mom. I said, listen, it's either that or I throw it all out. Yeah. I can moderate it.
Yeah.
And say, you can have one piece after dinner.
Someday when they are parents, they are going to thank you because you have set.
I doubt it.
I mean, even if they don't, whatever, you'll have known that you've set their metabolism up the right way, even if they don't love you for it.
Well, I'm just planting. I'm planting seeds now. Yeah. But to your point, I mean, the reality is you're going to be faced with circumstances where you have to consume the seed oils. You have to buy the less expensive food.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't get around that. And that's totally fine if you're eating the right way 95% of the time otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the point, is it's progress over perfection.
Yeah. And if you're conscious of it. I recently got some lab results back that showed that I needed to, my top five focus foods was all processed oils, palm oils, peanut oil, safflower oil, like all of them. Mm-hmm. And when I went grocery shopping the next time, I was trying to pick up the things I normally pick up. And the more I got to looking at some of it, I go, I mean, right there, hidden down in the ingredients is corn flour or corn starch or corn oil or safflower oil or canola oil. I mean, it's hidden in there somewhere. It's not always the first ingredient. But I would look at it and go, okay, well, this is something I would normally buy, and now I can't buy it. There's literally no dressings that you can buy.
No.
There's none.
I mean, short of you making your own with olive oil and lemon, which is what I try to do. But I mean, there's some salad dressings out there
that are okay.
That are so delicious that I am willing to just take the seed oils.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the thing. You have to just be like, I mean, this is so good that I'm willing to have a little bit of this, but I'm not going to eat it every day. I'll eat it once a week. I mean, you just have to start making those concessions, you know?
Yeah.
I don't see any value at all in getting political, but I am very excited about, you know, the attention right now that people are giving to what is in our food and what's not allowed in other countries. Mm-hmm. And I'm really cautiously optimistic that we're going to start paying attention to this because we are poisoning generations of kids. We are setting them up for obesity and illness. Mm-hmm. That's why you have all these young people getting sick so mm-hmm. early.
Yep.
It's not been on anybody's radar.
Yep.
And finally, we're seeing something.
It sort of feels like these companies don't care about the people. Like, these companies already make a healthier option for other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And they're within our country.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not providing us that option here.
It's always about profit.
I know it's about profit. I think that's the sad and frustrating part, is because we're the ones giving them the profit, like mm-hmm. giving them the money, and yet they care less about us.
I mean, it's just, it's like we're paying them to kill us, which hilarious.
Yeah.
So, I mean, okay, that's the diet piece, right? Obviously, smoking and drinking. It's so funny. When you talk about smoking, mm-hmm. I know very few smokers anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know anymore. Yeah. You know,
I know more vapers than I do smokers.
Yeah. And that's I feel like that's more of a kid thing.
Yeah.
But I feel like smoking and vaping, everybody knows, super bad.
Yeah.
When you start asking people to restrict their drinking,
woohoo.
Boy, is that a line for some.
Yes.
I will not give up my wine.
This is actually, I was just reading about this morning. It was a post on a page that I was on, but somebody was like, oh, there's, my doctor told me that there's something good in wine, like, and if I had a red glass of wine a day or a glass of red wine a day, that it's actually healthy for me, you know, tell me more about this. And people were just like, yes, there's resveratrol, but you can also get that in other forms. The harm that is alcohol
mm-hmm.
on your liver
outweighs the resveratrol.
And just in your inflammatory, because like it blocks up your liver from doing what it needs to be doing, which is detoxing, which increases your body's whole body inflammation. You know, the resveratrol that you're getting from it is just like nil.
I mean, okay, so this goes back to doctors, and I'm going to bring up my own personal experience with this. So recently my husband had a medical incident where he broke out in a cold sweat. He felt dizzy and he was feeling some chest tightness. And I was like, heart attack, right? Mm-hmm. We went to the hospital. Like, I pumped him full of aspirin. We went to the hospital. He had the enzymes in his blood that suggested that he had a heart attack. So we went down this whole, he was in the hospital for 3 days to do tests. Like, mm-hmm. let's figure this out. And they eventually were like, we're going to cath you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they cathed him, they found no blockages in his arteries and his heart looked healthy, which was very confusing, right? Because something happened. But everything looks good. They don't normally see that. It's an anomaly. When I was talking to his surgeon who did the procedure about it, I was just asking him questions and things and just, you know, really trying to get to what can we do lifestyle wise to make sure this doesn't happen again? Or, you know, what's the underlying cause that could be causing this? And he kind of made a joke about me being medically skeptical. I said, I'm just asking questions because I think lifestyle is always going to be what we primarily want to try to focus on over medications. But I said, I'm not medically skeptical. I said, but if you want an example of why, I said, my husband's in this hospital for 3 days for a, like at that time, heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And his menu of food was ice cream, soda. And what was the other thing? It was ice cream, soda, and pudding at the very most basic level.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you give a heart attack patient ice cream, soda, and pudding?
Right.
If you can't get those little things right,
mm-hmm.
and then you're asking why I'm asking questions.
Yeah.
I was really annoyed. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
And I mean, of course, he didn't have an answer for it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he's like, it's on the heart healthy diet. I'm like, yeah,
yeah,
that's my point.
Yeah.
You know, but the drinking thing is like a whole nother thing because that brings in social ties. I mean, I think food,
it does.
I think food does, too.
And it alters our psychological perception of things. So it can numb things. So there's a little bit of the psychology component, really.
Like, you know,
you
I feel
check
more,
out,
I
get, you know.
Well, I mean, I liked it because it would make me loosen up.
Yes.
Like,
exactly.
I'm uptight.
Yeah.
I'm a type A person. So
but
when I drink,
think that's when I stopped drinking, I asked myself why I was drinking. And a lot of it was because it was to escape something. And not that I have a lot to escape. Like, let's not go down that rabbit hole.
I mean, just
hole.
If you have a stressful day.
Right. A stressful. And there's so much of this wine mom culture out there where it's like, oh, today was hard with my kids. Can't wait till it's 5 o'clock. I'm going to have a drink.
That
I mean,
is legit.
I even catch myself sometimes being like, gosh, if I drank, like, this would be the day I'd be having mm-hmm. a drink. And that really, is that really your go-to
when I was talking to
you're trying to escape your life because it's so hard?
I was talking to a friend, actually, and she just said that. She goes, so-and-so just put out a text message to all the moms like, hey, my husband's out of town. Kids are driving me crazy. Like, who's grabbing the wine and whose house are we sitting at tonight?
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
Like, that's not good.
No.
You know?
Or why don't you all get together and, like, play board games to escape it? Or, like, you know, this is the nerd in me. Nerd. But, like, there are so many other things to draw connection rather than feeling like you have to be inhibited to have a full connection. Do you know what I mean?
No, I agree. I mean, it's the whole, you know, gosh, you can say that about anything. Smoking, I smoked back in college. I quit in college, but, you know, I smoked end of high school, beginning of college. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, social bonding.
Yeah.
Because you'd sit outside with somebody and you might not know them, but you share a cigarette and all of a sudden you're best friends. Yeah. And I really enjoyed that until I found myself, you know, it was a blizzard outside. I had strep throat and I found myself outside my dorm room smoking a cigarette because I had to have one. And that was the moment where I was like, what am I doing? I don't like anything that controls me. And when you start drinking to solve a problem or you start smoking when you have strep throat in a blizzard, there's a problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is not the shame game, but I do think that it's important for people to start thinking about why am I doing these behaviors? Yeah. What do I get from this?
Yeah.
And how is it ultimately affecting my health? Yeah. Because a lot of my friends, obviously Gary and I, you know, now he's had a heart incident. I've had cancer. It's like, we're too young for this.
Yeah.
This should not be happening.
No.
So there's my little diatribe.
We'll get off the box.
Okay. So obviously we've talked about like the dangers of all these habits, right, of causing inflammation. But the positive of that is that there are anti-inflammatory habits that you can do.
Yep.
So think about that. You quit or you severely limit the bad behaviors. Mm-hmm. And then you introduce anti-inflammatory habits such as like, you know, diet rich
fiber, vegetables and fruits. Yep.
Omega-3 fatty acids. Yep. Oh, which, my gosh. My fish oil.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I know that like they say, oh, you should get it from fish. You know, supplements are always kind of secondary to actual food. And I get that.
But I don't eat enough fish.
I don't. Like, the farm raised is so much better, but it's not better for you. So it's like the wild caught just doesn't taste as good. I am obsessed with my fish oil.
Yeah.
I feel like that, you know, my big fat Greek wedding where everything is fixed by Windex, you know, where he's like, you just spray some Windex on it. When people are like, I'm having hot flashes, I'm like, fish oil.
Yeah.
They're like, my joints ache. I'm like, fish oil. They're like, I'm depressed. I go, fish oil. Like, fish oil is my Windex.
Spray some fish oil on
it. I'm serious. That's how much I take a gram a day. It makes me feel amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I do like my fish oil.
You know, you're going to like this one. Regular exercise. Exercise is so anti-inflammatory as long as you're not overdoing it.
For sure.
Yeah. Stress management.
Mm-hmm. And I think stress management and regular exercise actually goes quite hand in hand, because there is not a day that I don't exercise where I go, gosh, I'm just feeling extra stressed today. Mm-hmm. I feel like the endorphins that are released from exercising. Mm-hmm. And I know that some people say I just don't have time to exercise, or it's hard for me to get up in the morning, or it's hard for me to do this. And maybe this is just me, you can speak for yourself. I do feel like once you have exercised, you're more likely to get more done.
I mean, yeah, I think it's that whole make your bed first thing. Uh-huh. You know, like you accomplish something and then it sets you up for feeling more proactive.
More alive,
And here's what happens when I work out. I all of a sudden don't want to undo that workout by eating a bunch of inflammatory foods.
Oh, well, yes, of course.
You know what I mean? Yes. It's like I put that time in, you know, really exercise is goes beyond like weight. Like it's really not for weight loss. If you want to do weight loss, it's all about your diet, right? Yeah. Working out is about muscle gain, which helps you burn more fat. But it's also just about all the good things it does for your bodies.
Yep.
But yeah, you don't want to eat a bunch of junk, you know, after you've worked out.
No.
So it's kind of has a synergistic effect. I think, you know, when we're talking about a lot of people just want to take a pill, right? Yep. They just want to take medicine that fixes everything. That's the culture that we live in now. Because there is a connection between inflammation and cancer, they are looking at anti-inflammatory drugs like NSAIDs and corticosteroids. Yep. They're being studied for their potential in cancer prevention and treatment right now. Mm-hmm. Immunotherapy is another big one that they're really looking at to try to figure out how can you get your own immune system to target these cancer cells and modify these inflammatory responses.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are some medical things out there, like some pills that mm-hmm. might prove worthwhile in the future. But really, at the end of the day, inflammation is something that you can control at home.
Yep, 100%.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, let's hear from our second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors. All right, we are back. So some final words just on inflammation.
Oh, it's bad, people. It's bad.
She's Beth and her black and white thinking. Inflammation can be good if you sprain your ankle.
Yeah.
But it can also, if it's systemic, especially if it's systemic and chronic.
Which if you've had cancer is.
Yeah.
You gotta control your inflammation.
Yes. Being mindful of it and managing your inflammation through lifestyle is going to be the best long term. But there are also medications and other things to keep in mind.
Yeah. Until next time.
See ya.
Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmes, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies.